Hallelujah. All right. Thank you very much. Luke 11. You want to say that's a new text? Yeah. It's a new series. Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. We started text today. I announced earlier during the week. That sounds like ages ago now. That we are going to start a teaching today. Teach us to pray, right? You want to learn that? You know, on Wednesdays we're looking at, doesn't God know when the cup is full? Does God not know when the cup is full? We were looking at, financial, God's role in supplying our needs, right? And maybe once, because the cup is full and it's running over. Amen. But on Sundays, we would be looking at a series on prayer. I don't know how long, if I'm looking at what I have here, it's going to take us about 3 months. But what we're going to do is see how we can structure that and shift it. Amen. Because at some point, we have to start preparing for a retreat. Hallelujah. Luke 11. Ready for the word now. And it came to pass, verse 1, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Sir, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So it starts out with Jesus was praying in a certain place, and they allowed him finish. When he was done, that's quite important. They allowed him to finish, because we live in a disruptive world, right? Where, you know, there are distractions as you pray. This teaching is not as serious as prayer, right? Prayer is not that serious. Amen. You're talking to God. It's not serious. It's not. And we're going to see why a lot of people look at they make prayer officious. And it's not meant to be officious. It's not meant to look like you're in corporate and you're talking to the head of personnel management. No. Amen. It's prayer. Amen. Please, for the babies making noise, please help us out. All right. So they allowed him to pray. So we said in a world where there can be a lot of distractions. You know, you see, you have people praying and then you're pressing your phone. Something like that. Yes. I am strengthened with my, and it's all nice and good, really. I'm just not, maybe I'm old school. Even though I'm 16 years old, I'll be 17 next week. But I don't see how it makes sense that you're talking to someone and you're pressing your phone. How many of you have felt so disrespected like that before? You're talking to someone about something serious and they're pressing their phones. Has it happened to you before? Imagine you're at work and you work in a multinational. You're talking to your boss, maybe the group managing director, the GMD. And as he's talking to you and you're pressing your phone, you know you're done. Yeah, you are going to be promoted to a customer. Amen. Hallelujah. You will go to customer service because you're not a customer. You're not an employee. It's disrespectful. I don't know who was that person in this church. And I have to take your phone. Who's that person? Eh? Sister Anu? No. Sister Anu will fight other service. No, I was talking to the person. Hey, is it church? Is it work? But David, help me out. It was at work, sorry. You understand? You are in need after service. You say, why was my name the one? Just kidding. If she says anything to you, come meet me. Amen. The only thing she can give you is more chops. Hallelujah. I think it was at work. And I think we're just talking, it was very casual. And the person was trying to reply text. I said, no. So I took the phone. I said, you're not going to get this phone till I'm done with this conversation. Amen. It was after work hours though. Because I can't be talking to you in my office and you're pressing phone. I'm gentle though. Amen. But it's disrespectful. But some people don't feel, you know, there was a sermon yesterday. They said the husband is pressing phone, he's facing the west. We had a wedding yesterday, sir. And then the wife is pressing phone, he's facing the east. And the children will face north and south. If you observe that in your family, which can happen, I press phone to my wife presses her phone, amen. Amen. First, yeah, so pastor in the house, they don't press phone. But I'm saying, if you observe that it's impeding communication, you don't talk, you don't do anything. That was wrong. Amen. That's wrong. So in a disruptive society, they allow Jesus to finish his prayer. Let people finish their prayer times. You know? It costs nothing. Wait. You know, we are in a generation where people don't respect prayer. Even as parents sometimes. Just knock. You are praying. And when you are done with that prayer, come on, that beans. He's praying, just wait. Amen. I remember some years ago I had to tell my dad, you know, I was praying and then he came in and he just said something. I didn't give a response. I looked at him like this. From that look, he knew. So after the prayer, I can say, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything. I was wrong. He said it in Yoruba, I was wrong. I was not meant to barge in like that. And when I saw that you were praying, I was not meant to do anything. So you knew. What I, in that prayer, God knows whether he heard that prayer because I had things to say. Amen. Hallelujah. I had things to say to him, not to God. To the intruder. Amen. You know, they allowed him to finish. But let's go on. Jesus was praying. And someone said, teach us to pray. I put it like this. I said this many years. I was teaching in Oyo State College of Education some years ago. That was about, this is 2025. That was about 15 years ago. 2010. So I was teaching Oyo State College of Education. And I told him, I said, if there was someone that could have gotten by without praying, it's Jesus. If there was someone that could have gotten by without praying, it's Jesus. I mean, he didn't need to pray. And yet, he said, Jesus was praying. And someone said, teach us to pray. Now look at Matthew 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. It's the same text, really. Just I like the Matthew's version. Someone say, why? Eyewitness. So when I have an account of Matthew and Luke, I just want to give you an expo. And Matthew and Luke says the same thing on Mark. I'll go for the eyewitness. Always. I prefer what the eyewitness say than, because Luke was writing from what he was told. Matthew wrote what he had. Alright, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Are you there? Are you there? Matthew 6, 5? Alright. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Amen. So, in Jesus teaching prayer, the first thing he teaches is what not, how not to pray. Don't forget, we're looking at Jesus teaching us to pray. And in the first, his first approach to teaching prayer is how you ought not to pray. The way you are not meant to pray. He says, when you pray, let it not be a public show. He says, like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. You know, the corner of the street is where you have, people are not moving fast. Hallelujah. Amen. People are not moving fast. On the lanes, people are walking. On the corners, everybody's noticing what is there. So if you are in advertising, people put stuff more at the corners because you have to slow down, even if you're driving. Amen. Just a hint for you guys now. Go and use that at your strategic meeting. At the corners of the street, Matthew 6, 5. Alright. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be an hypocrite. Remember some years ago, we had a retreat. Someone who was not a member of our church came and was like, why is this not on Facebook? And this kind of events, you stream it live. Let the world know that we are praying. And I said, why should the world know that we are praying? I mean, I don't even want the world to know. If there's any of our special meetings that does not have a flyer, it's the retreat. If you have ever seen a flyer of a retreat, let me know. You can't see a flyer. You can't see the announcement online. What you just see is that week, people just write, Ori okay, yeah. What you just see is, you know, you just are seeing, you know, from like 2 weeks. You know that retreat is near. But we don't make a public announcement of, imagine we're praying how many hours now? Don't let everybody know, yeah? Amen? And we're just praying and then we are doing live. Maybe you see someone that is doing, then you go, you're not praying. Jesus tells you simply, he said,
they have their reward. And the reward is not answered prayers. The reward is nice prayer.
No, there are folks who like to be seen praying. Amen. They like to be seen. On campus, I had someone like that. I'm not going to mention. But first, we know the person. But I'll say it in a way that you don't know the person. Oh, sorry. So, hear this. Every time we go to a prayer ground, this brother will start, what's going on? We were still discussing something in the car yesterday. Myself and Bro Faith. And you? On our road to Ibadan. And we're talking about someone. I said, are you sure that prayer that this brother is praying is eyes of understanding? Eyes of understanding is not supposed to reach. Jesus! Abi, we are praying for pastor. Now so you like me rich. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't think about anybody. Nobody you are thinking about is true. The person does not attend this church, so you don't even know the person. Amen. Amen. He's not a member of our church. Only me, Bro Owe, and Bro Faith knows the person. Hallelujah. Okay, you are there. You know, I said, it can't be eyes of understanding, no. I prayed eyes of understanding very well. And I'm still praying it. Now, I'm not saying that person likes to show. But there are folks who like to show. I remember in Ife that year. Motion ground. And you see, people, someone came to grab me one day. Except there's a battle. There's a battle for your life. The way he grabbed me that day, he wanted to show something. He was swinging me. I said, this guy's going to give me, he's going to give me show that his location. So I said, what are you praying for? Apparently, I had an issue with one course. You have a jawa me. I said, go here. I had to be defending myself. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, I'm not saying when you pray, you go dumb. Sophisticated Gen Z prayer. You know, there are no rooms for that in retreat. Amen. Hallelujah. Especially when you see someone beside you and he's already judging you. Their prayer is judging you. You know that kind of prayer. You don't been to all those mountains, all the prayer mountains. You don't want to pray that loud, but you look at everybody and you feel, I don't think God's going to hear me. If I stay quiet, God is not going to hear me. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. He says, they have their reward already. They stay at the corners of the street to be seen. Their prayer has no results, no reward, because it is in hypocrisy. Rather, when you pray, verse 6, Matthew 6:6 now. But when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, say shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret shall reward you openly. It says, enter your closet. Jesus had an habit of this. He takes his disciples and then he goes aside to pray. There's no one who deems themselves spiritually mature or spiritually maturing, which is the right word, that don't have a private prayer life. No one. Till today, there are times of prayers no one has seen me pray. You just know you didn't see me around and you see me around later. And I'm talking including my wife. I mean, you're not going to know when I'm going to pray. It is your secret devotion. There are corporate prayers where we all come together to pray. We've got a vigil and all of that. You can't go and say, I want a private prayer in vigil. Over Lord Sunni. Amen? Private prayer. You're not moving towards the toilets. Amen? Areas where the lights don't get to. Says so private prayer. It's between me and the Father. You and the Father. You're like this on the wall. You and the Father. Your hands on the wall. Your head on the wall. It's not you and the Father. It's you and the wall. Amen? How many of you know that kind of prayer? You and the wall. You and the pillar. You not grab pillar. You start with, you are doing like you are praying. That's why I like halls where there are no pillars for retreat. Amen. You must have a private prayer life. So, he's teaching us to pray and he starts with how not to pray. No spiritual man who does not pray privately. Where no one sees it, where no one hears it, it is the height of worship.
It is the height of worship. Look at verse 7. Matthew 6, 7. So we're looking at teaching us to pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 7. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. I'm going to explain this a bit today. Don't use vain repetitions as the Ethiopians do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, the word repetitions, there's the word batalogium. I'm just going to spell it fast. B-A-T-T-A-L-O-G-E-O. B-A-T-T-A-L-O-G-E-O. Vain repetitions. It means to stammer, to chatter. What is vain? Vain is that which focuses on self-pleasure and elevation. So vanity, if you look at the scriptures, vanity is always that which appears to satisfy me. That's why Solomon would say, all is vanity. Amen. So I say, give me that vanity first. You know? Car is vanity. If you like, build 100 houses. Vanity. Why? One day, you're not going to need it anymore. It's not going to last forever. That's vanity. And that's why you must put a leash on greed. What I say? You must put a leash on greed. If you like, if you build 100 houses, you will sleep in one room. You can't sleep in two rooms at a time. Well, I will break the wall, and then it's one room. Amen. You can't drive in two cars at the same time. You are not that powerful. I say, what about convoy? You are not in the other cars. Amen. I say, Pastor, all this one you are saying. You are not that told us that God does more than necessary. And that's why we are here. Hallelujah. He says, don't use vain repetitions. So let's explain vain repetitions. We said vanity is that which focuses on self-pleasure and self-elevation. Right? I have a PhD. Good thing. But if you now use that as a score over others, it's vanity. That PhD is actually vanity. Amen? Yeah, my own too. Don't say, I'm not only talking about your own. Say, why are you saying that PhD? Whatever I've gathered, if I built a business, it's all vanity at the end of the day. Amen. Look at what Jesus says. He says, in your prayer, don't stutter on vanity. Don't stay on vain things. So, oftentimes people think when he says vain repetitions, it means I should not use one word over and over and over again. No. He's saying, let your prayer not consist primarily of things that will go. Does that make sense now? Vain repetitions, does it make sense now? Come on, does it make sense? Alright, good. Let your prayer not consist of what you can achieve without the Spirit of God. He didn't say don't ask for things. He says let that not be what you stutter over. Let that not be what you chatter over. When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the Ethiopians do. That is, the desire of the godless is what God cannot give. They pray, but not is what they can get without God. He says the desires of the Ethiopian is vain. The Gentiles, the godless, is not asking for the church of God to increase. He's not asking for disciples. He's not asking for the healing of the sick. He's not asking for more anointing. So now you need to ask yourself, what separates my prayer from the person that does not even know God? The person asking for car, I'm asking for car. The person asking for wife, I'm asking for wife. By the way, I'm not. Amen. The person asking for private jet, I'm asking for that one. Amen. I need it. Hallelujah. Private jet is a nice thing to have, don't you think? If you don't want it, let me see your hands. You don't ever want a private jet. Alright, none of us. Alright, good. Go back to the Bible. It says, don't use vain repetitions. That is, let not your prayers' main consistency be vanity. Does that make sense now? So it's not about use of words. It's not about use of words. It's not about saying, oh Lord my God. Oh Lord my God. My Lord my God. Apata yirai. Apata, apata kwitipi. Apata kabiti. You're not saying, you are using vain repetitions. No. Vain repetitions has to do with vanity as the main constituent of your prayer, as the Ethiopians do. Does that make sense now? Come on, does that make sense now? Alright, good. Verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, this is how you should pray. Can we read verse 9, till verse 13 together. Everybody, are you ready? 1, 2, go. After this manner, therefore pray you, our Father, who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth.
I said everybody.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Let's learn to follow instructions. Everybody reads. It means everybody reads. Sometimes we're used to being passive. Don't be passive in any service. When you say read, you read. When you say pray, you pray. When you say sing, you sing. It's corporate worship. Amen. So let's go. He says, when you pray, you say, our Father, who is in heaven. That's where I'm going to. So I'll gloss over some things. He says, our Lord be your name. So that means you praise him. Amen. Our Lord be your name. Your kingdom come. So it tells you the first constituent of your prayer. The kingdom. Your kingdom come. What will your kingdom do? Your will be done on earth. Jesus is teaching us to pray. I've had Christians who have asked me before, Pastor, how do I pray? What do I say when I pray? And if you're teaching a new convert, someone who just got born again, this is how to start. Don't use vain repetitions. Pray about his kingdom. What is his kingdom? That his will be done on earth. As it is. I didn't hear you. As it is. Yeah. Your kingdom come. The first emphasis of prayer is firstly about his kingdom. What God is going to do on earth. I'll say this, and I'll say it very fast. This life we have right now is the shortest we ever live. James calls it, he said, like a mist, like a vapor in the wind. There is the kingdom of God proper to come. Amen. We are in it. We have a foretaste of it in his church, in his worship. But there is a time to come that all we are going to have is his kingdom. Jesus is coming soon. In case you've not heard that in a long time. Amen. I'll say it again. Jesus is coming soon. I know that last month we had a prophet that that said the rapture was going to be September something. Funny enough, I didn't hear actually until it had passed. That means I would not have gone, Abby. I think we had a service that day. It was a midweek service day. And he said the rapture was going to happen and people started selling their houses. How many of you heard of the story? Oh, if we heard and you did not do anything. You wanted to go without me? People were selling their houses and their cars and their dogs. And I wish I saw someone I wanted to sell. Amen. Where we will fight is when you come back after rapture. I'll say I can't see you. You can't come back for the same car you sold pre-rapture. I'm here. I didn't go anywhere. Amen. I saw a video. One lady was crying. Said, I have to go to work now. I was going to beg them. I already resigned. So I don't understand. Why did you sell your car? You need the money to rapture? Doesn't make any sense. So the money you collected from the car, where will it be? It's not going to be. You're not going with it. The house you sold, now where are you now going to stay now that Jesus did not come? It doesn't work like that. Don't say, are we going to fly? The kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our primary focus is God's kingdom. What's God's kingdom? His church. You are his church, and you're also a part of his church. The church is his bride. You are the bride, and you're also a part of the bride. If that looks like a boring prayer, you have not known him. What some see as prayer is, Jesus, I need $150,000. And the only time we remember prayer again, when someone falls sick. So we go, in the name of Jesus, the one who created the heaven and the earth. But you didn't call on the one who created the heaven and the earth yesterday. Looks like you don't like him that much. Prayer is not last resort. Prayer is talking to God. And Jesus tells you how to do it. Your kingdom come. What is that kingdom? In case you want to complicate it. Let your will be done right now on earth, Lord. As it is in heaven. In my life. In my ministry, in my family, let your will be done.
There are folks who walk in God's will, and there are folks who walk in their own. Sometimes, the difference is not known until the end of time. Say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We heal the sick in your name. Say, I don't know you, I didn't send you. I've never met you before. Sometimes it's until the harvest that Jesus will separate the wheat from the chaff. And I pray you not be found wanting. You want to know how to pray? Ask for his will. Oh Lord God, let your will be done in my life. We saw that with Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. He says, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. But if it is your will. So, prayer, the first constituent of prayer, you want to know how to pray, is to pray God's will now. We have God's will clear in the scriptures. He wants all men to be saved. Right? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2. And we have several of that written all over the scriptures. Find out his will and pray it. Your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 13 now. And verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. That is, forgive our trespasses as we forgive our debtors. Now, I've taught this before. Our daily bread, sufficient bread in the Old Testament, was used for forgiveness of sin. But really, let's expand it more. Even though today is not the day. It will be God's providence. What God provides. So, give us this day our daily bread. And if you want to use that for your work and your hustle, permitted. Amen. Say, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What a prayer. If I'm going somewhere, verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, there's a way Yoruba puts those prayers. I'm very sure in every dialect, it's going to be tika. How does the Igbo put it? You don't know it? Who understands Igbo properly? Do you? Represents now. Onwake. Temptation. Onwa. What is now? Deliver us from evil. That's the part I like. Anyone who can help? Deliver us from evil. Say it.
Nafuta anymore.
What is the translation?
Deliver us from.
Like, Bilisi, I said now. Ha. Bilisi is the evil. Evil is less to Bilisi. If Bilisi catch someone, eh? When you're asking, eh? What? Mm-mm. I'm not saying what she said is not correct. I don't even know what she said. It's the interpretation. Like, Nafuta is deliver, eh? Huh? Onwa is not death. Onwa is them. It's well. No, I'm done. Oh, you know it. You know, I'm not asking for the Igbo again. I'm asking for the translation. You get what I'm asking for? I don't even know what I'm asking for. I'm asking for the language again. Like the belief. May belief not catch you. It says, deliver us from evil. That means, if I don't pray it, I might not be delivered. When the Bible says pray about something, it means it's in your control. There is a deception that everything is in God's control. No, everything is not. Everything is not in God's control. For example, James will say, tell you in James 5, the prayer of faith will save the sick. That means if there is no prayer of faith made, the sick will not be saved. Stop being deceived to think everything is God's control. No, he says deliver us from evil. I know there are folks who think there is no evil in the world. Abi bro, faith. We saw one car yesterday. He said, gun don't kill people. People kill people. Amen. Say, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Deliver us from evil. I said, it's all Nollywood. This African thing. When you go out of the country, you will now know that things we pray for, there's no evil there. You will not see evil. All these things is these days. What was chasing David for 13 years? Not be evil. Bible records it that there is an evil spirit in Saul that David was playing for in the palace. Remember? To suit it. What's your assignment to? I don't have much in retreat. David was the one playing to get the evil spirit out. The evil spirit will in turn manifest again to chase David. I've talked to you before when we were talking about a little gist of, well, demons. What teaching was that? The one I said is breaking, a little gist on demons. Yeah? Well, it's been long. We talk about demons and, you know. How many of you are around for that teaching? 2018? 19? 2001? I didn't hear you very well. Casting out demons. What year? 2018. Alright. You can't listen to it very well. We spoke about how demons work. Deliver us from evil. Is it Hollywood or Nollywood that sent Paul to prison? Just learn to pray. So Jesus says, you also can pray that you don't get into temptation. I feel that was from his own experience. God doesn't lead us to temptation, amen? But there are temptations in the world. When people hear temptation, probably the only thing a lot of people think about is sexual lust. There are temptations bigger than that. May you not be in a situation that will tempt your God. Yeah. I've seen folks who are asking God, what's going on? I was discussing with Pastor, I say Pastor now, yeah, Pastor Toyosi, yesterday, and you were there too. We're talking about a ministry who had the boat capsized. I've shared the story before. His Grace, 40 people went on evangelism, a new church of 2 years. 40 people went on evangelism and the boat capsized and 37 people died. How do you not blame God? Easier said than done. How do you not blame God in that situation? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We're not just going to teach prayer. We're going to pray that prayer. There is evil. In Psalm 11, I taught you last December. Psalm 11. Are you learning something? Verse 1. Psalm 11 verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. I'll say you my soul. Fear as a bird to your mountain. Can we verse 2 together? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they might privately shoot at the upright in heart. Remember that teaching? What's the teaching? Was last retreat? Or year before? Last one. Ah, no, it's not right, so. No one remembers the title. Bro, Pam, you too. Protecting the vessel. Protecting the vessel. Protecting the oil. Protecting the oil. Yeah, I remember now. Protecting the oil. Those are teachings you should go listen to again. He says, the wicked bend their bow. They put it upon the string to shoot at the upright. That means the devil, whether you like it or not, has you as a target. I said it this way last year. I said, the devil has a special taste for the righteous. A special taste for the man in Christ. Jesus will tell you the solution. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. What a prayer. Deliver us from evil. We are delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus. There are two reasons why people don't pray. One, they don't believe in God. Or they are not convinced that there is a God. Two, they are not sure prayer will do any good. They believe God is going to do what God wants to do. And that's an unscriptural doctrine. It's an unscriptural doctrine to think that God controls everything. No, he doesn't. If God controls everything, he will not ask us to preach. Meaning, everybody can get saved. You don't need to preach. You don't need to tell someone, give your life to Christ. They'll just give their life to Christ. They won't even know. They'll just wake up. They'll wake up with Bible on their chest. And they'll say, I believe. But that doesn't happen anywhere in the world. We are laden with the responsibility to preach. Because God does not do everything. Same way we are laden with the responsibility to pray. Because God does not control everything. It means if we don't pray about some certain things, we won't see the results. God does not control everything. In Philippians 4:6, for example, turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Are you feeling this morning? Verse 6. A very popular scripture. Can we read together, everybody? Want to go? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Pastor. Eh? Don't tell me. He said, don't tell me your request. Tell God. Amen.
Don't tell me your request. Say, Pastor, there's a need. Have you told God? Amen. Let your request be made known unto. I've offended you. Let your request be made known unto God. This is what you do when you don't know what to do. He's telling you, God is not going to take control until you ask Him to take control. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That means you can replace worry with prayer. We are in a world where we worry a lot about everything. At a point in our lives, the worry was admission. Remember that year? Some of you did not have to go through that stress. Admission. Everybody who has gone to school, they say, God, if you can do it for me. I felt like I wasted prayer, but it's fine. I feel like I should have prayed about something else. Not like private jets. But it's good. Education is good. Amen. Someone says school is scam. It's showing from your statements that you never went to one. That's why when you want to sign contracts, they will add one clause there. You don't know, they say they will kill you if you leave. Sign. Say school is scam. I just bagged a $1 billion deal after 2 days. They say out of the $1 billion, your own is $1 million. No, I want to opt out. I say, read now. I can't read. School is scam. Education can never be a disadvantage. Never. It's either you didn't appropriate it very well, but to know something cannot be a disadvantage. Even if it's an evil thing that you know, you can know it to avoid it. Alright. Not today. So Jesus says, when you pray, something can happen. In Psalm 84, I'll just quickly read it. Psalm 84 verse 11, one of my favorites too. I have a lot of favorites actually. But I like this one. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord gives grace and glory. He will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. One of the ways you walk uprightly is by praying. We are in a generation that sings, I will pray, and they don't pray. I will pray. Then they ask you to come for vigil. Guess who is not there? Mr. I will pray. Because Mr. I will pray loves sleep. Mr. I will pray loves the comfort of his bed. Amen. Mrs. I will pray or Miss I will pray does not like standing too much. So I will pray. Oh, it's your song. You don't pray by singing about prayer. You don't pray by teaching prayer. The only way to pray is to pray. We can teach prayer for 4 hours. We've not prayed until we pray. And nothing will change until we pray. Look at Matthew 26. And I'll wrap it up here. I should. Matthew 26, are you there? Matthew's Gospel 26. So, don't forget, it says, be anxious for... I feel there are people who have things to ask God for today, amen? Who have requests to be made known unto God. There is nothing you can ask God for. Except for my head. He's not going to give you. Amen. He gives grace and glory. He's not going to give you my score. Amen. There's nothing you can ask God for. Don't shy away. And don't just do it in tongues. If you are a Christian that cannot pray in English or in your local dialect, if you don't understand the English language, something is probably wrong with your prayer life. I mean, why is it only in tongues that you can pray? Any small thing, you want to ask God for school fees. You don't know how to ask God in English that you need school fees. Of course, you know that if there's someone that will tell you to speak in tongues, I'm the one, right? And I'm still the one telling you now that you must learn to speak in the natural language too. I told you before. So now you punctuate it with English. So you're speaking in tongues and you go, yes, as the word has said, you must learn to ask. Not everything, you have tongues. You want to ask God for husband. Whatever that means. Amen. I'll teach sometimes before the retreat. I will find 2 weeks to teach marital stuffs again. There's this thing about asking for husband I don't understand. Or asking for wife. And I will show you how to do it. Because that thing you're asking God. God is asking you.
And I'm serious. That thing you're asking God for. God says, how do we go about it? So let's say you want to ask God for husband. Let's just see. I need my one man. The bone of my bone, whatever, ligament, tendon. The one that will see me and say, baby. The one that will call me mine. The one that will say we belong together. The one that will be me and him against the world. I'm part of the world. Pastor, church, even Jesus, everybody, only two of you against all of us, you're not going to lose. The one that is me and him against the world. The one that will run together. We'll run away, we'll flee. You know, those are teenage fantasies. Some of you have told some of you, one boy before. So let's run away. There was a lady that told me that when we were growing up. She said, Pastor Bedouin will talk. Let's run away. Ah. No need to go. I went to tell Pastor Bedouin. Let's run away to where? You and who? Teenage fantasies. But even if you want to ask God, why not? Why are you asking in tongues? Take some 10, 15 minutes this week to learn to pray and just pray it in your... And sometimes we teach a lot to help people pray in tongues and just to pray in tongues. And now we are teaching to help them pray. I'm not saying forbid tongues. Don't forbid tongues. Don't start speaking in tongues. But I'm saying you must also learn to... I taught this some years ago, right?
Yeah.
You must also learn to talk. And let me tell you, the reason why a lot of Christians don't like to speak in their normal and they like tongues is because they don't know any scripture to quote. Does not know what to say. Does not know what the Bible says. Does not know what God says. Cannot remember anything. So he just goes, you can't start question what I'm saying. By the way, I'm praying. Amen? But you have something you're praying about, Abby. Why not say it? Oh, we're praying for missionaries. Lipanos keep the fatty to get a short bread they can ask for missionaries all around the world. In Tahika Prato Sine Melekitasa. They are saved, they are delivered from evil. In the name of Jesus, themselves and their families. That's how to pray. That is how to pray. For your word has said, you will preserve the righteous. That's how to pray. Not going tongues for hours because you actually don't know what to say. So you should ask yourself, are you praying or you're programmed? That's why we're looking at teaching us to pray. Amen. Let your request be made unto God. Is your request in tongues? God wrote the request for you in tongues. The request. The landlord that is asking, did he ask in tongues? That is asking for rent. He came to you and said, Rekete potolo, bebe yepe, fami fumilo omi. The man sends you text message, sends you WhatsApp. Called you and said, when will he be ready? Take that request to God. God, when will he be ready? God, there's an urgent need though. Urgent 2M. Amen. Stop asking for urgent 2K. And the money is not going to appear in your wardrobe. So you listen for the opportunities that God is going to bring your way. Amen. Can tell you, go and sell wiper in traffic. You say, me with my steez. Okay. That steez will feed you. Amen. Matthew 26. So, do not worry. It says, be anxious for nothing, right? That's where Philippians 4, where we're coming from. How did Jesus just sit down and worry and say, the cross is before me. How will I do this thing? No. He went to pray. He spent hours praying. Because that's where the help is. The help is in praying. The man of God once said, I have so much to do today. So I'll spend the first 3 hours praying. He was talking about a lot of workload and so much to do today. So let me just first spend the first 3 hours praying. I need help. Prayer must be a part of your life. Teach us to pray. Says when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Let everything not be about your rent. Let everything not be about admission. Let everything not be about a wife or husband, a job. Of course, you can ask Philippians 4:6, right? But that should not be the only thing you pray about every time. Every time angels are taking your request, like Daniel. Every time they're taking your request, they know what's in your request. Say, so ask again. And that angel says, what did you ask for? Say, no man, nah. Let's just take it to God. What do you ask for? Urgent 2K. Every day. When last did you seek the kingdom of God? When last did you say, let your will be done? Have you found out his will? Why do we not call ourselves Christians? If your prayer is like the Ethan, like those who are godless, but you're not. Matthew 26, verse 36. I'm ramping up now. Then came Jesus unto a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, sit you here while I go to pray privately. Can you see that? So again, that private prayer is part of your devotion. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. At that time, so we are sorrowful and very heavy. Yeah. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here with me and watch with me. So Jesus calls prayer watching. So he went a little further and he prayed and said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you. Is that how we taught them to pray? Eh? Your will be done. So our primary focus in prayer should be God's will. I know we taught this some years ago in retreat. It's not last year. I think it's 2 years ago. Either 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Where I taught from the Lord's Prayer. 2 years ago. We've had retreat twice at Bariga, right? So then it's 3 years ago. Go and get that first session. First session. It's about 2 hours long. We'll talk about the Lord's Prayer. It says, not as I will, but as you will. Verse 40. Can we verse 40 to verse 41 together, everybody? Want to go? And he comes to the disciples and finds them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Look at that. He said, watch. Watch. The Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. He's looking around. He says, watch. And how you watch is in prayer. Don't join Christians who say, there is no enemy. I'm not saying your every of your prayer should be focused on one enemy. And there's no enemy. You don't have any enemy that's human. Humans are just vessels used by other spirits to be an enemy to you. No human is an enemy. You don't have a human enemy. So that person that you want to die does not need to die. You just need to get that evil spirit out of them. Amen. Someone say, no. Ah. No. Why he allowed the evil spirit? He will learn lesson. I had a friend who said that actually some years ago. He said, when I said, no man is your enemy, he said, ah. Why did he allow herself to be used? That's where our whole fault is. And I will deal with both the human and the enemy. I was teaching him, I said, don't say, from my enemies, even though over the years now, I sing it now, from my enemies, because I actually still see enemy. Anger as an enemy, pride as an enemy, amen? Greed as an enemy. Those are enemies. They have their own spirits. Jesus talked about a demon evacuating a space, and then when he finds his place clean, he calls 7 other demons. Mightier than him. That means they have ranks. JD, job description. Amen. There are demons that are responsible for some things. The demons that say, this one, you know, they go anywhere. That's what I do. I've been doing this since the time of Cain. Cain did not go anywhere. There are demons that are in charge of a man missing his direction. They worked on Lot. They worked on Esau. And guess what? Demons don't die. So the same demon has enough experience. Don't underestimate the devil. I'm not saying overrate him. I'm not saying worship his power. No, but don't underestimate. You stand on your feet and pray. You must learn to pray. Jesus said, can't you watch with me for an hour? It's an evil word, Peter. And soon enough, Peter, you realize that your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter saw it. Hours from then, Jesus was arrested. They all ran away. Peter stood by the fireplace and he denied Jesus face to face 3 times. Jesus said, if you had prayed, things could have been different. Prayer changes the situation of things. Watch and pray. Things could have gone differently if you prayed instead of sleeping. Things can be different if we pray. So instead of just hoping around and worrying about, play for me as a close. And in anxiety, there are believers who are anxiety experts. All your life you live in constant worry. Worry of what will happen tomorrow. Worry of what will happen to your life. Am I even going the right direction? Where am I going to? What does my future look like? When will I eventually do this? When will I eventually do that? And you compound your life with so much worry. When you can just pray. So that, when you can just pray. Why worry when you can pray? Then it teaches you how to pray properly. It says, let not your prayer consist of vain repetitions. Don't stutter over vanity. Instead, find out his will and tell him you want it done. For my life, for my family, for my ministry, for my health, for my body, for my loved ones. Jesus, let your will be done. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. What a prayer. Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Every day is filled with its own darkness. Every day is filled with its own path where the light doesn't shine. And Jesus says, you can take control of that. Why not say a prayer and say, deliver me from evil. Deliver my family from evil. I had a lady reach out last week. She's not from our church. She called. She had lost 3 family members in the space of 7 months. She's the only child left now. Out of 4 children. The 3 siblings are gone. The unfortunate thing is that the spacing is the same. The timing is the same. So now she's expecting that at a social time. So someone asked her to reach out. I told her, don't worry. Let's pray about it. So I told her, you're not going to die. Friday was the time, the exact days, because she was counting days. It was going to be Friday. This Friday, 2nd. Friday 2nd, right? 3rd. I've forgotten. That's the truth. I've forgotten. I just prayed for her. I just said, you know what? You're not going to die. God's powers are working in your body. Every evil towering over your family is lifted right now in the name of Jesus. You're going nowhere. You will live to serve the Lord in the land of the living. Your living, your being alive will be a testimony to the kingdom of God. She's alive and she'll be alive for a long, long time. You can't just ignore that. I'm very sure. How about the first one? Second one. You are seeing evil right under your nose. Take control. Deliver us from evil. Your great-great-grandma had it. Your grandma had it. Your mother had it. You're sleeping on that time bomb. Deliver us from evil. It's not that serious. You just need to pray. It's not that catastrophic. It's just that you are not praying. The devil is not that powerful. He only leverages on Christians who don't pray. Christians who don't trust God for what next. People who live their lives. Like, if God wants to do it, let him do it. Quest, sera, sera, whatever it's called. Let God do it if he wants to do it. Is he not the all-powerful one? No. How about ask him? If Jesus can pray, we should be praying. And he tells us what to pray about. Deliver us from evil. Because things can be different. Things can go differently. Things can happen differently if we pray. Deliver us from evil. To be what we pray about this morning. That we are delivered from wickedness. You know, David explains, he says, there's an arrow that flies by noon. This is David talking. Someone who never lost a battle. He says, there's a pestilence that runs by midday. The enemy works hard to destabilize what God is doing. But the onus is on the believer to take charge. You can't say you're reigning in life and you're not asking God to take control of some things. So why will God not just do it? Have you been to a serve yourself party before? A buffet? Anyone? I've been there before. They are nice. I don't really like them because sometimes I don't know the food. I remember I went to one and many years ago. Now I don't go out often. And I saw one food. It was like someone vomited it. And someone vomited inside the entire tray. But I said I was going to try it. It was Chinese. You know, you don't take with spoon. It's sour. Let's take it. And I took it and I ended up in the toilet. But something about those kind of places, no one is going to come to you to serve you. Except you are in the VIP. Or you are disabled. You are expected to walk towards there and take whatever you want. It does not mean that food is not available for you. It means you have not gone there. Is it making sense? The food is plenty. Walk towards it. You have been served an invitation to the wedding. But they won't come to your house and carry you. And put you like, and say come to the hall. No. You have the access card. Get into the hall. When you get to the entrance, the door will open. Because you have been invited. God is not shutting down answers from you. You are the one not receiving it. But that ends this morning. Because we are going to pray. Ready to pray now?
So let's go to that scriptures, Matthew 6. Everybody, let's rise to our feet. So we're going to pray. We're going to read that Lord's Prayer like a prayer. And when we get to verse 13, we will now pray with it. We'll pray with 13, the first part, lead us not in temptation, deliver us from evil. Does that make sense? But we're going to read it like a prayer. And go read it for yourself. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can we pray with that now?